The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Good evening. Dirty saying it. You are listening to the Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Boys, 13 in a row. I can't even believe I'm saying it. 21 of 25. And in that stretch, the Sox are, I believe, plus 39 run differential. It's an unbelievable run. Guys, what do you think?
Well, what I would say is anybody who could even conjure up the idea of saying that they predicted this is out of their minds, because not since like the 1940s has a Red Sox team ripped off 13 in a row. It's not just that they're winning and they won 13 in a row. It's the juxtaposition between literally 2.5 weeks ago and now. I had a conversation this week, earlier today, actually, with someone, and we were racking our brains. Like, do you ever remember a team that at the same, within the same season, was so unlikable and dysfunctional to then becoming as likable and competitive as this team has become? And I couldn't think of one. So for me, and I know we're going to get into it a little bit more, just opening thoughts. It's not that they're winning that excites me. It's the way they're winning. Saturday night's win just blew my mind. Down two, come back. Down three, come back. Big hit, home run by Abreu to win it. What we were concerned about earlier, again, 2.5 weeks ago, is if they went down 1-0, 2-0, the stats were crazy. They were like 1-21 as far as coming back in a game. They were down by 2 runs. Now they're seemingly doing it routinely. They're still scoring first in most games. They're playing like a completely, completely different team. And I have one specific person I would give the majority of the credit to, but we'll wait till later for that.
Yeah, Jeremy, you're right with the in-season turnaround. Like, we can think of season-to-season turnarounds, right? We've had a few of those last to first. But in season like this, I can't think of anything that was really like this across any of our teams in any sport, really. I mean, it's a turnaround that no one sees coming, that no one expected. Everyone gave up on this team. And, you know, I said something, maybe it was a month ago. It got some hate, especially from Jules in the chat. But I said, you know, one thing that I felt like we weren't really talking about, everyone talked about how bad the lineup is and how bad this team construction was. But I said, even on top of that, these guys are still underperforming, you know, and they were, and they're starting to perform at a high level, and the team's really turned around. And, you know, the pitching is going to be there. The pitching's been there all season. It's not going anywhere. And it's an exciting stretch. Like you said, Jeremy, the way they're winning is exciting. The crowds have been loud. The crowds, they're getting crowds into it. And I think we've actually talked about the team seems that they've been together all season, even through the bad times. It didn't really seem like they were like there was bad morale with the team for the most part. And I think that helps. And I think Contreras, you know, is leading our team in a lot of things, and him saying, you know, I don't want to be anywhere. I'll reject the trade. You know, you like to see it. And I think a lot of those things together is what's leading to this.
Absolutely. I mean, Jeremy, you said it best. I can't think of another team pretty much in almost any sport where there's been this much of a turnaround. The thing is, baseball is such a long season, right? So, like, there's still time for this to go the other way. And I'm not saying it will, but I think about, like, in football, we've seen seasons, teams where they start off really rough, they turn around, they go and they win a Super Bowl. It's such a short season. I mean, a football season's literally the almost a win streak that we've been on as the Red Sox just in this last, you know, 13 games, right? So the fact that we've won 21 of 25 is even more impressive to me than the 13-game win streak, right? Because we've seen win streaks that have gone double digits and then teams just completely flame out. But I think what is most special about this one, and you highlighted it, Jeremy, is the way that they're doing it, right? Is they're winning low-scoring games. They're winning games where they're blowing teams out, and then they're showing the balls to come back when they're down in every fashion, in every which way that they've been losing games this season, right? Like 2-0 lead for the other team in the first inning, game's over the majority of this season. These Sox find ways to come back multiple times in the same game. And even in the midst of the streak where, like, even if we lost a game, right? Like, yeah, it'll suck. The streak's going to have to come to an end, but they just don't let it end. And it's remarkable. It's unbelievable. I mean, even what's quietly become one of the strengths of our team, and we really haven't talked much about it, is the bullpen. Because even in some of these games, during these 13 games or the 21 out of 25, we've had some close games going into the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning where we've had to rely on the bullpen to pitch meaningful pitches and innings and have to either grind out a close win or keep us in it for the offense to be able to take the lead late and then come back and win. And they've been able to do it. You know, I think Jeremy, I, and many of us on this podcast were in a position not too long ago where we were like, it's probably better that they just lose at this point. Not that we wanted them to lose, but it's probably better because to get the change that this team needed, that's what it seemed like needed to happen. And I'll eat crow because at the end of the day, this is ultimately what we want as Red Sox fans, right? To be playing meaningful baseball games in the middle of July, going into August, and then hopefully once it becomes fall, we're still in it and still playing games that mean something here. That's where I think we'll turn our attention to now is, you know, in the midst of this remarkable streak, right? Because you had Sonny Gray today who easily could have gotten shelled. There was a couple of moments early in this game where it looked like it was going to get rough. Inside the park home run, didn't seem to have too much control, was giving up these hits, and it's like, oh. But he quickly got control back, got a couple of much-needed outs, and then was in cruise control once the offense took over in this game. But overall, in the middle of this streak, even if you go to the 21 and 25, who do you think is most responsible or deserves the most credit or flowers?
I'm going to start with two people who should get zero credit, and that's John Henry and Sam Kennedy. Those two can go fly a kite as far as I'm concerned. Screw you, pals. I'm going to give Breslow some credit here. Some of these guys are Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, two moves we questioned, although with Wilson Contreras, it felt necessary just because they had no answers internally once Casas got hurt. But some of these guys, Jamai Jones gets picked up after being DFA'd by the Tigers. It's a big home run on Saturday. I saw his numbers against lefties, and he might be able to take some of those Ref Schneider at-bats from years past. I'm not going to jump the gun. He's had essentially two good games here because he got on base twice today. But some of these ancillary moves are paying off. Now, I'm going to stop there because we still have a serious talent deficiency. We do not have a big bopper like we've always had in this lineup, whether it be Manny, David Ortiz, Mookie Betts, and I could go on. We still don't have that bat. And as good of a year as Wilson Contreras is having, he's having a career year. I doubt he's going to do this again. I'm happy he's doing it. Keep hitting Wilson. Number two on my list is Bailey. Through all of the nonsense that's gone on around this team, he's had this pitching staff in a position to be successful all year. All right. And then the guy I give the most credit to, and I trickle down to Breslow for making the move, is Chad Tracy. And I talked about this on Thursday night's podcast, so I'm not going to go like deep dive on it. I'm just going to pick a different slant than I had on Thursday night. Their play style was never going to be this under Alex Cora. I heard some crazy stats. I think it might have been Friday night about bunting. Like they bunted like, and these numbers are not real. I don't remember the exact numbers, but let's say they bunted. They had like 25 sacrifice bunts this year. 20 of them are under Chad Tracy. And if you go back to preceding like full, last season and this season, Chad Tracy's had like 20 sack bunts, and under Alex Cora, they only had like 12. So if anyone's sitting around still thinking that Alex Cora should be the manager for this team, I got some bad information from you, because this team is not playing anything like an Alex Cora team who traditionally wanted to sit around and wait for the three-run home run. They are doing the exact opposite. And over this weekend, they devil raid the Devil Rays. They have a Chang has a perfectly down the third baseline bunt that looked like it might have just been foul, but they called it fair. And then they bunt again. I think it was the same inning, and the Devil Rays threw the ball into the tarp down right field line. And I'm sitting here going, wait, well, you guys are supposed to be doing that to us. And I'm sitting there as the events are unfolding in a game. They ultimately, I think, won 10-0. They are a completely different team offensively. The only thing that's been consistent offensively is their complete inability to hit home runs. Now, as it was, Contreras and Abreu are hitting the ball out of the ballpark, but they're last in Major League Baseball on home runs, yet their run average run per games is a full run or more higher now than it was even 3-4 weeks ago. So what's the change? It's very simple. Chad Tracy and whoever else, the hitting coach, got together and said, we can't keep sitting around waiting for home runs. They're not going to come. That's not who we're going to be in 2026. We have a half of our lineup is technically minor leaguers, in my opinion. And so let's go and have our offense fit our talent level. We're athletic. We run well. We got a couple guys that can handle the bat with bunting and those sorts of things. And then all of a sudden, the floodgates start opening and we're getting multiple run innings, crooked numbers, and we're coming from behind. And we're not necessarily waiting for a two-run home run to do it. We're putting pressure on the defense, which is what I thought we were going to be when we were talking about this team in the offseason. And it just so happens they had to move on from Cora. And I didn't realize, you know, Chad Tracy's been through a lot. He's lost more players than he's gotten. Breslow hasn't really added anything from outside the organization except for Jones. So these are all guys that are within the system. You lose Meyer, you lose Roman Anthony. Guys with less talent are replacing them. You have to give the manager an absolute ton of credit. And yes, Johnny, I might have been wrong on Cora based on what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, I mean, 100% it has to start with Tracy. If you want to say that's Breslow too, you know, sure. But it has to start with Tracy. It obviously took him a bit, you know, to get his philosophy in. You know, it wasn't going to happen day one. It took him, you know, a little bit, but it's definitely, you can see it. It's the glaring difference in the team is the way we're playing. And like you said, Jeremy, it's because that's how we have to play. That's the roster we have. We don't have a team that's going to, you know, hit home runs and hit doubles and just keep that going. We have to play small ball. And, you know, when you play small ball, when you steal a lot of bags, when you bunt, it puts pressure on fielders. And that's what we've been seeing lately too. And I mean, today we scored 3 runs without getting a hit, which was crazy, right? We loaded the bases with hit by pitch, walk, and then errors. We scored 3 runs without even getting a hit. So it's like even in this, you know, in a 13-game win streak, you need some luck like that. And we're getting it, right? Everything's going our way right now. Weird, you know, teams like that aren't used to, you know, we're not used to the Rays looking like that. You know, they're the top team in the league, and you know we looked better than them in 3 games. And you're right, Chris. The bullpen's been great. You know, Whitlock's really come back strong, and it's just if I can shout out someone, you know, maybe not the number one reason, but I think Monasterio has been huge. We lost Story, we lose Meyer, we put this kid in at shortstop. And it seems like he hits a double every game. He's getting hits in big spots. He's getting RBIs. He's really pushing singles into doubles down, off the wall. And he's been a huge part of this. And him and Durbin, you know, the left side of the infield is, you know, defensively they've been really good. Durbin's been outstanding. And Monasterio has been a huge spark to this team. It seems like, you know, these young kids that Tracy's bringing up, you know, maybe they're comfortable with Tracy because they seem comfortable right away. They don't seem, you know, uncomfortable at the plate. They seem comfortable in the field, confident. And it's just that's a huge part of what's going on right now. And, you know, yeah, Bailey obviously deserves credit. The pitching staff's – I mean, we've been saying it all year. The pitching staff has been great. And we're waiting for the lineup to show up. And the lineup's finally showing up. And I think, you know, we've been saying – there was a time where it was like, you know, if the Red Sox only averaged like 4 runs a game, they'd be, you know, one of the top teams in the league. And that's actually happening now. And, I mean, you know, where I think it was the Rays, the Yankees, and the White Sox are the top 3 teams in the league, and we're 10-0 against them. So, you know, there's a lot of stats in our favor right now. And, I really don't think this is kind of a fool's gold. I'm starting to think this is, you know, where we really turn this thing around and this is actually the team that we could be.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, you're never as good as your best. You're never as worst as your worst, right? So I think we're, you know, water will find its fucking level. Oh, swear jar, sorry. But I do think we are closer to this team than we were as bad. Now seeing the sample size of 21 of 25, right?
Yes. Yeah.
At the end of the day, if I look at it, let's start with like players. There's no doubt Monasterio has been a spark for the whole season because he's been in and out of the lineup. I think if I'm just strictly looking at the 21 of 25, the two biggest spark plugs outside of Wilson Contreras, and I put an asterisk next to him because he's had some stupid shenanigans in the middle of that, right? Where he's gotten himself suspended and like that could have hurt us. Luckily, it didn't, but it could have. I actually think it's Durbin and Siegler. Durbin got off to, I mean, such a start to the point where we were all ready to just crucify him and Breslow, more importantly, for bringing him in. People were like, I can't believe we didn't re-sign Bregman, even though I thought that was the right move to not re-sign him. But then I was like, this was not the answer. He has been an absolute black hole for offenses defensively, where he just literally gets every ball almost that comes to him. I mean, he's been probably the best third baseman defensively we've had since Mike Lowe on this team.
Yeah, probably. Great barehanded play today.
100%.
Yeah.
And his offense has completely turned around. In that stretch, I mean, I think he's batting .325 in the last 25 games. So, I mean, he's been unbelievable. And then Siegler, I mean, we're just waiting. This is a guy, mind you, in double and triple A ball that's not – didn't even hit .300. Could barely hit .250. And the guy has been lights out at the plate for the Boston Red Sox, providing sparks in big moments and finding a way to contribute every single night and every single game that he is in. So tons of credit there. If I turn it to, let's look at the organization. You know, Bailey deserves a lot of credit because he was getting a lot of flack. Even in the offseason, going into this season, people were all over him. He's finally seemed to bring a level of consistency to this pitching staff that even when we were at our best last season, we didn't have across the board. So he definitely deserves some flowers. You know, if I had to give, say, who deserves the most credit, I was leaning Craig Breslow up until maybe the last couple of games of this win streak. Just because, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, we say he has not constructed a very good team, but it's a team that's good enough to literally be doing what it's doing without some of its best players. So you got to give him some credit there. But if I'm picking someone, it's Chad Tracy. Just for the sheer fact that, forget about the fact that we play a completely different style of ball. The reality is the Boston Red Sox for the last half decade have been strolling out teams that look very similar to this one. Incomplete, no-namers, guys that don't deserve to play at the major league level for a large enough sample size. And we used to actually excuse it for Alex Cora when he would lose. Oh, well, look at the team we constructed. Look at the team that we gave him. Couldn't do it. And this team now is tied for the second largest win streak in Red Sox history. With the players and team that they are putting out there, how do you not give Chad Tracy all the credit in the world? He is finding ways to win with this lineup that is completely flawed. But to Jeremy's point, finding a way to do it by changing the approach. The home runs aren't there. Not in a nine-in and nine-out basis, even though, yes, they have found a way to get home runs, and they've been big home runs. But that's not the game plan. We're going to play small ball. Look at the Mets series. When was the last time that we saw an extra innings a Red Sox team not go for a two-run home run? or just try to score two runs. That was Alex Cora said it himself. We go for two runs. That's what we do when we're on the road. No. Bunt, single, score a run, and rely on the strength of your team, which is the pitching, to get it done. Sweep. Continue the streak. You have to give the credit to Chad Tracy. So, I mean, at this point, what is your guys' opinion of Chad Tracy's chance, it's a tongue twister, of keeping this role with the Boston Red Sox as the manager heading into 2027, more than likely, let's say 2028?
One more thing on that. If he's the one that pulled the trigger on getting Anthony out of the dugout, and that has triggered Wilson Contreras' comments about the personality in the clubhouse and their winning, I don't think it's a long-term solution because Roman Anthony's coming back. But if he was the person that pulled that trigger, that looms as a pretty big decision that he made that is really under the radar right now. Splitting up those two, getting a couple guys out of the clubhouse that weren't having a positive effect either because they couldn't play or they had a bad attitude or both, whatever. That's a decision that feels like it matters right now. My answer to your question, Chris, is if they make the playoffs, how do you reset the dugout? I don't want to be like annoyingly answer a question with an answer, but like where's the slant? Where's the Sam Kennedy lie? You know, to me, not only where this team was when Cora was fired, but where they were in a stagnant place for even another month or two, for him to find the right mix of guys to get the clubhouse. Contreras says over the All-Star break, this is his family. What? Where did that come from? Sonny Gray a month ago looked like he already bought his plane ticket. And now all of a sudden it's like this whole just different vibe. I mentioned it on Thursday. It goes back to the leader of the clubhouse and the leader on the roster. I think Wilson Contreras is the leadest on the roster, although I'm not sure about that. But it really feels like the one thing that changed that we can all point our finger to is Chad Tracy. I don't know how you undo all of that if this team makes the playoffs by doing anything but just removing the interim tag and signing him to a 2 or 3 year extension. That's my personal opinion. It's a tough day to ask because I'm just like, I'm like Dougie Sunshine over here, 13 in a row. They're playing well at Fenway. They're coming from behind. I mean, it's just, everything is just, it is unbelievable right now, but that's the way I feel as we sit here today.
Yeah. Get some sunshine in your life. It feels good.
It does feel good.
It
feels great.
I think if Breslow's back, I think he'll keep Tracy. And as it looks now, if we're going to make the playoffs, then Breslow probably will be back. You would think, if something happens and Breslow isn't back, then maybe a new GM brings in a new coach. I don't know about that, but I think as it is right now, I feel like it looks like Breslow will be back, and I think they signed Chad. I think they signed him. I think they signed Tracy. I think, you know, the team just looks like they're behind him. They're behind each other. And I just agree with you, Jeremy. It's weird to, you know, have such a turnaround, make the playoffs, and then make a change. I don't know if that's,
there's still a lot of baseball to be played. But we have no choice but to answer Chris's question as we sit here currently.
Right.
Yeah. The reality is like I said before, this could potentially go sideways, and it's a different conversation. But the way that they are playing now, and again, they're not going to play like this for the rest of the season. However, if they play to 75% of this, I don't see any possible way that you don't re-sign him. Because I think the biggest thing, and you kind of hinted at it, Jeremy, with Chad Tracy over Alex Cora. And listen, admittedly, I was never a big Alex Cora guy. But it's for this exact reason. Alex Cora always seemingly wanted to be the friend in the room, the buddy, the player's coach, and like be able to manage all these personalities and quote-unquote get the best out of them. But never did, frankly. Chad Tracy's getting more out of this lineup than Alex Cora really ever got of any Red Sox team. And at the end of the day, if you're right, Jeremy, if he was the one to make that call, sign him to an extension regardless of what happens to Breslow, because the Red Sox have needed an adult in the room somewhere in the organization specifically that's translatable to the field. I mean, we've needed it in the players. Wilson Contreras seems to be the leader, but I can't call him the adult in the room when he's getting himself suspended and in fights every other series. But Chad Tracy has provided that to the Boston Red Sox. So I would agree. I would say that, you know, if we play even close to this, there's a good chance he's going to be back. I think it's the same for Breslow at this point, barring a complete tailspin and just flaming out and missing the playoffs by 20 plus games. It's going to be hard at this point to not, you know, commit yourself to Craig Breslow for at least another season. Looks like you're going to say something, Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different look. They 2.5 weeks ago, I mean, it feels like yesterday, they were completely dysfunctional. Guys just dejected in post-game press conferences. Commentary to the media, it's just like we can't figure it out. We're just not – I'm Sonny Gray. He said we're just not a good baseball team right now. I'm only speaking for myself, but we're just not a good baseball team. They are functioning at just a total different level right now, and it makes everyone else in management look better as a result of the on-field product. What we don't know is how functional is behind the scenes. I think we're going to get some of that as we get through the deadline in the next 12 days. But when the product looks like it does now, it makes everybody else better. It makes Tracy look like he's a very good manager. It looks like Breslow has a better pulse of the offense than we thought he does. We already knew he had a decent eye for pitching, but now it looks like some of these guys. So when it's functional on the field and in front of our faces, then it makes everyone else look better. The thing that I can't predict, because this team has been trash and god awful and now the best team in baseball for 25 games, is what's the rest of the season going to look like? Are they going to continue to look functional? If they are functioning at or near this level, they're going to continue to win, and they are going to be closer to the team we've seen in the last 25 days than the team we saw in the 60, 70 games before that. And I do think that it's more likely that they stay functional based on the timing of this. As you mentioned it, Chris, 25 games, that you're kind of leaving a small sample size at this point. So I they're obviously not going to win every game the rest of the season, and they're not going to win 18 to 20 again, but they hold a wild card spot. They're a game and a half there. They're, I think, four back of the Yankees and six back of the Double Rays. So I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. But as it sits here right now, it's hard to say. The only thing I will say, if it goes bad and they move on from Breslow, please act like an adult organization and let your general manager pick your clubhouse leader. We already tried that when Henry forced Cora on Breslow. And obviously, I don't think tremendously of Breslow, but that doesn't work. That's not how really solid run organizations do their thing. They hire the owner, tasks the lead operator, Sam Kennedy in this case, go get your general manager. The general manager then goes and gets the coach so that the philosophy runs downhill. You can't do it where, well, we like Chad Tracy, but let's still fire Breslow and then force a GM on Breslow. It can't be done that way if it comes to that.
Yeah, totally agreed. And the other thing too is, like, all season, everyone was being so hard on them. We weren't wrong. Things just changed. I mean, Breslow deserved all the hate he was getting. This team deserved all the hate they were getting. Cora deserved to be fired. You know, none of that stuff, we weren't wrong. It's not like an old takes exposed thing. It's things changed. And this team had a turnaround that no one saw coming. And you gotta ride the wave, and you gotta be honest with what you're seeing in front of you. And right now, you know, as much as everyone hates Breslow, you gotta tip your cap and be like, yeah, it's working. Right now, you know, it's working.
100%. You know, that's probably the most frustrating thing. We have people in the chat where it's like, oh, Flico, eat your crow. And it's like, yeah, I will, because I said I wanted this team to lose, not because I want them to lose, because I thought it was what was best for the team in its current state, right? But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to apologize for the takes that I had on a team that was absolute dog crap. This was a flaming bag of dog crap from Billy Madison at best.
Don't put it out with your boots, Ted.
Yeah, and the Boston Red Sox were trying to put it out with their boot.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen, even Boston media, even the, you know, I won't say the term, but the people that really suck the you know whats of the Boston Red Sox, other podcasts, media members, personalities, even they were down on this team. And that's how you know it was bad. I mean, it was an all-time low for Red Sox Nation, for the people that were being honest with themselves. At the end of the day, they have turned it around. And like you said, you have to ride it at this point. And like, I'm excited. And I was wrong. I want them to win at this point. And I always wanted them to win. I just didn't think it was best. Now it's hard not to say it's best because they put themselves in a position, dare I say, a right-handed bat away from being a serious threat to winning the American League pennant. Because, and again, it's not like they're a traditional World Series team. Okay, so I pause, asterisks. This is one of the worst American Leagues historically ever. And to Doug's point, the three teams leading the charge right now, right? You've got the Rays, you've got the Yankees, you've got the White Sox. We've beaten them 10 games in the 10 games that we played in this 25-game stretch. You don't need much more of a sample size to say to yourself, if you just add a couple of pieces, you can be competitive against these teams. And in a best of five, best of seven, you can take them out with the pitching staff that you have and the bullpen the way that it is playing. So I reserve the right to change my opinion, not because I'm going to go back and forth, because this team could screw it up. You know, at the end of the day, Breslow has to go out there and add. He has to be a buyer. We can't consider selling. That's out of the window, out of the question right now. We're too close to the deadline. The team is playing too well. They're still in the middle of a 13-game win streak, 21-25. Go out there, make reasonable decisions. It's got to be a mix of prospects and major league talent to go in there and bring in proven talent and get us the bat that we need. If you can get us a right-handed power bat and add it to this lineup the way that they are playing with the depth that they have at positional players and then with the pitching staff and some of the players that we have coming back in pitchers, this is a team that can seriously challenge for the American League.
Agreed.
Well said.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, well said.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if they add someone.
Yeah. The only thing I'll add is they're so paper thin right now with injuries. Like, they're already rolling half the Worcester lineup out there. I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to speak it into existence, but there's a couple names that come to mind that if one of those guys goes down, it's just paper thin, and Anthony's not close. Chad Tracy said he's not going to swing until he's completely pain-free. So I put that through my translator app, and it means Roman Anthony's closer to being shut down for the year than he is to come back. And we haven't heard much about Crochet. I know he's fighting to get back, but he's another guy they've invested a ton of money in. And I something in my gut tells me it's more likely that we don't see those two again than we do. So it's just paper thin. They got to stay healthy. They got a couple guys back. There's some commentary that Suarez threw a bullpen yesterday, and he might be back as early as Tuesday, Wednesday. So, you know, let's get a couple guys back and see where it goes. But Chris, I like that take, pal.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah. I mean, I'm in, but if we added a big bat, I mean, I'm all the way in.
Yeah, no, a right-handed bat, power bat.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's in. There's not even a question at this point because again, the American League has a lot to do with this. Like the Yankees just gave up a run. So it's 1-1. They could get swept in the Bronx. Granted, it's the Dodgers, but it doesn't matter. That puts us 3.5 games back from the top wild card spot, a handful of games almost away from the Rays for the division. I'm not looking that far ahead, but take complete control of the wild card with a month and a half to go and a roster and a lineup with an additional power bat. And it's a completely different story going into fall ball with the Boston Red Sox. So that takes us to our next series, because we got a 10-game homestand for the Boston Red Sox, in which three to play against the Baltimore Orioles, in which it looks like we've got Toley versus
Shane Baz.
Yeah, Baz. And then we have Baltimore's got Bradish to be determined for the Red Sox. And then who is the last game?
Dean Kramer versus Jake Bennett.
There you go. So, boys, who you got?
So, do you get Suarez on Tuesday? And if you do, is he only on? Is he on a pitch count, or is this a bullpen slash Bayo day? Because I'd much rather get 65 pitches out of Suarez, where you know you're going to get four innings and he's going to keep you in the game, than seeing Brian Bayo start the top of the first on the mound. So to me, the other thing is the Orioles are playing good. I think they won six in a row coming into tomorrow's game. If they won today, I can't remember if they did. And then just briefly, Bennett on Wednesday. Do you guys realize how good he's been? 53 innings. Here's the stat to me. I love WHIP. WHIP tells me a lot, right? Like back in the day, and I saw Kimbrel this weekend, and this jogged my memory. Kimbrel would just every inning, like, you know, let's go four pitch walk and make this difficult on myself. Jake Bennett has more non-stressful innings than anyone I can remember in quite some time. His WHIP is 0.88. He's allowed 9 walks in 53 innings. And in those 53 innings, he's only given up 38 hits. This guy just, and he's not pitching super deep in games based on his workload. And he's, you know, his innings limit's been short from my understanding, but like he has been special and it's non-stressful special. So I really look forward to his starts. I think you should win the Toley and Bennett start. And regardless of what happens on Tuesday with the starting pitching, the way this team's playing, there's a shot. As I have it, I think they're going to win the series. I think they're going to go 2-3 go into that Toronto series over the weekend with a real chance to continue to climb up the standings.
Yeah, I mean, Bennett's just – he's been great. He's been awesome. And kind of under the radar because of how good Toley and Early have been. And he came in a little after them, but he's been every bit as good as them. And it's another sweep. Let's get serious here.
Oh,
Doug, it's a sweep.
It's a sweep. You got the Sox setting.
It is a sweep.
A streak record with 16 in a row against Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, they have a little win streak going. Yeah, that's cute. We're doubling it.
Cute. Oh my God. Is Charlie on the podcast? Damn. All right. So the Baltimore Orioles did win today. They're actually on a 7-game win streak, quietly on a 7-game win streak. And the only reason it's quiet is because the Sox have gone 13. Let's face it.
Yeah.
They're now 2.5 behind us, right on our heels. They've actually now put Toronto in last place of the AL East. Who would have saw that coming? A team that was a millimeter away from winning game 7 and being World Series champions are now in the basement. Remind me of the 2013-2014 Red Sox, except we actually won the World Series in 2013. Nonetheless, I do have the Sox going 2-3. It's so hard to predict a sweep unless you're Dougie Sunshine. I very rarely do. But
you need the stones for it.
Yeah, you know what? I just also don't want to break character at this point because I don't want to get rid of the bad juju. Just like, you know, we've been talking about, do we change the podcast name back? And we don't want to touch it because we, you know, if we do and then we lose the streak, it's our fault. So at this point, I've got us winning 2-3. And, you know, if we get Crochet back, we're in a great position at some point this year because he wasn't that great, if we're being honest with ourselves, before he got hurt. If he comes back and he's lights out, it's a win. If he's not, we got the depth. And keep Roman Anthony away from this team for the love of God. Do you gentlemen have anything else?
Go Sox, man. It's been fun.
Oh, yeah.
Keep winning, man. Keep winning.
All right. Go Sox. We have been the Bastards of Boston Baseball, the Fire Breslow podcast. Blah. You can find well-written articles on bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Thank you for stopping by, and congratulations, Spain, World Cup winners. Let's go, Sox.